Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show. Look out the bright lights. Look out the bright lights. We'll with tonight's guest, motivational speaker Spencer West. Look out the night sky. Look out the night sky. And musical guest, Big Lucky. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Thank you, Mark. I start off with a big thank you because we are engaging upon a really special experience for not only ourselves and Berkeley Hall School and the listeners and children and the community at large. There is so much that is happening because of the leadership at this really special school, Berkeley Hall School, that we came to know of. And Mark will talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. And that's why I say thank you, Mark, because it was he who help direct this with these leaders at Berkeley Hall School, that so much has started to evolve, and so many people are coming forward wanting to be a part of what we're doing, and we want to be a part of what they're doing, and it's building. And so it started off in a big way with a press release that went out this week, and with our very first mutual collaborative series that we just launched this past Thursday. And again, we'll get into it in just a moment, but I just have to say right at the top of the show that the gratitude here for our own development, and as we watch the development of the children that are present and the people that are present, and even the speaker already, that the comments that were made after what happened this past Thursday at Berkeley Hall School is still ringing inside of me. It has affected me already so much. I can't wait for the next one. And frankly, this is the kind of thing that I could do day after day because my soul was fed, and to see the energy in the room and how still days now later, people are still talking about it and saying how they were changed by it and how their children were changed by it and the conversation that's been happening since. If anything is life changes, this certainly is. And so with that, let's come back to a conversation with Mark so we can fill in all the details that I've just started to point out here. I'm excited, as you can tell. We'll be right back with Mark Legere. And then soon after that, our guest, Spencer West. And after that, my friends, Big Lucky, Val, and Paul, right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. Mark, you can't tell I'm excited about this.
No, not at all.
I'm like, and then.
But I'm obviously right there with you, and this has been something that, that as you mentioned, I've been in part, helping to orchestrate. But it really is being orchestrated at a higher level. The synergy and the synchronicity that's coming together. We had had the Berkeley Hall School on as a guest a few weeks back, and that was kind of our first step in this direction. But one of the things we discussed was the common vision, the synergy of intent. So much of what we do with Life Changes and what we're about and what we share in our consciousness is what I was learning organically, what I was experiencing up at Berkeley Hall. And I started to connect the dots, saying, wait a minute, there's something more here. And then in meeting, you know, Dr. Lyle Staley and Rick Fields and Elizabeth and Lisa and the whole team, they are all aligned with this effort that we, and this passion that we share for the betterment of the children, but the betterment of the community and the globe overall, and really sharing this shift of mindset from me to we. And I used to say that as I was a little kid, and so it's very interesting that we've come full circle to today's speaker, who's a We Day speaker, as I used to share how I felt like a we-driven person in a me-driven world. And here we are, you know, building this first event in the Berkeley Hall Difference Maker series with Life Changes. That is the beginning of this inspirational movement to bring this culture out, to champion not only the students' expansion and growth and learning, but to let the ripples, you know, through let that ripple throughout the pond, throughout the world, in this shift into the a more we-driven, community-driven mindset.
So actually, you're right. When we had Berkeley Hall School on the show, that was like the pebble in the pond, and it really solidified there. And then this past Tuesday, we there was a press release actually that went out. Berkeley Hall School and the Life Changes Network announced strategic partnership. Now, that was great to have a press release, but to have it be picked up by as many news wires that it got picked up on, it's gotten so much attention. That's really exciting. So people are feeling this, and it's getting attention. And then this past Thursday, we had our very first speaker in the speaker series. And you know what's interesting is one child can make a difference. Obviously, Spencer West, who's out there making a difference, was at one point a child. And he talks so much about that child that, oh, incidentally, actually, I'll just read his words directly here. Incidentally, he describes his journey after losing both legs from the pelvis down at the age of 5. So he went through his whole childhood like that. That child, without legs, has made a huge difference already, inspires others to make a huge difference, and is continuing to make a huge difference.
You know, most of us remember learning how to tie our shoes around that age.
Yeah.
Imagine, you know, stepping into that next phase of life. I'm still having a tough time wrapping my head and heart around it.
So, me too, actually. And this is the interesting thing. I have to say this because what we're going to do, this show is like none other we've ever done before. We're actually going to go and experience the live interview that's going to be out on video soon. But in the meantime, we'll all get to hear the audio of the live interview of us and Spencer West on stage at Berkeley Hall School in Hodges Auditorium, which was very moving from the get-go. But before we do that, we're going to do something else that we've never done before. And we're going to go into the room where there were, almost 200 children there that got to hear Spencer West speak. So at this point, when we're going to cut into the room here and get the audio, Spencer will have spoken for about 15, 20 minutes, and he would have shown some video of We Day and of Free the Children and other things that he does and stories and pictures of him.
Which was a very moving presentation. Very. And I know a few of us had tears in our eyes as the question and answer section started.
Right. So you'll hear right now, actually, that we'll start with a question and answer in that room with the children of Berkeley Hall School. And Spencer, I didn't note this until later, one thinks that of all the questions somebody could ask a man like that, because, oh, here, he's without legs, certainly there are a lot of things that we don't experience that we want to know about. And Spencer says that he always wanted to be looked at as a regular person. Like, yeah, you know, I understand I don't have legs. I understand that is not something you see every day. But I'm a motivational speaker. I'm an author. I work with nonprofit organization. I'm a person. And that's how he wants to be looked at. Well, these kids, all of them, I think every single question were questions that one would ask a person.
Yeah, there is no distinction. The questions, if you were just looking at the questions, not knowing who's they're being directed at, you wouldn't guess it's somebody with Spencer's qualities.
It was so beautiful and so moving, and it hit me when we were on stage with Spencer, and before the camera started rolling again, I said to him, "Did you notice?" And because it was hitting me like that. And what age were they? Were like from 6 years old in there to, was it like
six? I would say 13, 14 probably.
And they were quiet, and so here you could hear the questions. Actually, let's just go to it. We're going to go live, pre-recorded, to Berklee Hall School, Hodges Auditorium, this past Thursday with Spencer West. Hi, I'm Filippo, and I know I have a million questions for Spencer. I bet some of you have one or two that you'd like to ask, and hopefully we can get to as many as we can. But first, I have to say one more time, what did you all think of that presentation?
All right.
Spencer West.
Thank you.
Okay, who would like to ask the very first question? Oh, that was
so
really quick. How
hands.
About you? Tell us what's your name.
Samilche, what's your favorite actor?
Oh, what's my favorite actor? That's a very good question. Right now, I really like Orlando Bloom. Do you know Orlando Bloom? You might be a bit young for Orlando Bloom. He's really good. I also really like Zac Efron. He's really cool too, you know? Yeah, there's a few of you in the audience as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, who over here has a question? Right here.
Share your name.
Ava.
Hi, Ava.
How do I swim?
That's a great question. When I was a kid, my parents put me in swimming lessons. I had to take private swimming lessons because it took me a little bit longer, but I learned how to just swim with my hands instead of my feet. You know how you learn how to swim with both? Obviously, I don't have both, so I just learned how to swim with my hands instead. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Look at all of you with such great questions. How about you? Whoa. How about you over here? Yeah, what's your name? Yeah, you. Is that all right?
My name is Cyrus. Can you be my friend?
Aren't we all friends already? I figured that's what we were doing here. Yeah, absolutely, buddy. I'd be happy to be your friend.
I hear everybody clapping. Does that mean everybody wants to be Cyrus's friend?
Yes, you should be. Look how cool Cyrus is.
Okay, and someone else from this side again. I see more hands over there. Who all wants to ask questions? I know you were up first, so let's go ahead.
Lola.
Hi, Lola.
What street do you live on?
What? That is probably the best question I've been asked in a really long time. I live on a street called Sackville in Canada. I know, it's not very exciting. Although, I will say this. My street that I grew up on in Wyoming was called Rosewood, which I always thought was so cool. Yeah, that was a great question. Thanks, Lola.
Okay, you look like you have a question right up front. What's your name?
Charlotte?
Yeah.
And have you ever been to China?
You guys have great questions. Have I ever been to China? I actually have. Free the Children works in China, and I went there a couple of times to do some speeches to inspire some kids there, too. So I definitely have been to China.
All right. I saw this hand up eagerly waiting. Here you go.
Oh, he's been waiting.
My name's Luke.
Luke?
What is your favorite action movie of all time?
Oh, man. Man, you know what? I just saw it for a second time on Sunday, Avengers. I love Avengers. I'm obsessed. Yeah. Actually, anything with superheroes, I'm totally obsessed. Yeah. I also really like Harry Potter, too, but Avengers is the one right now.
You know, Spencer, later on in the interview, we're going to have a really hard time coming up with questions because they've taken all of our questions.
Great. Well,
all right,
sorry
so
about
who
that.
Has, you. Hold on. What's your name?
My name is Jet, and what's your favorite car?
What's my favorite car? Oh, what is my favorite car? That's a good question. You know what? I've always liked, because I grew up in Wyoming, and this might say too much about me, but I've always liked, I think Jeeps are so cool, because you can, like, drive them anywhere, right? Like, you can drive a Jeep anywhere. So I would probably say a Jeep.
Okay.
All right. How about one more over here? What's your name?
I'm Joseph.
Joseph.
How strong are you?
How strong am I? Well, let me tell you this. When I was training for Kilimanjaro, we were lifting weights, and I was bench pressing. And to give you an idea, I weigh about 80 pounds. I did. I think I weigh a little bit more than that now. But I was bench pressing about 125 pounds when I was climbing, training for Kilimanjaro. So not quite double my weight, but pretty close.
We haven't gotten a question from back here. So
yeah, let's go towards the back.
Let's go towards the back. Okay, how about you, sir?
Speaking of exercise.
My name is Jackson. So how did you train your arms to be strong, stronger than your body?
Yeah, that's a great question. How did I train my arms to be stronger than my body? Well, you know how you guys obviously walk on your legs? I learned to walk on my hands, right? And so walking on your hands, they've just turned into my legs, where now they're really strong. But I have to take care of them because your arms aren't meant to be walked on, right? So I have to be very careful about it. I used to be, like, you know, wild. And as you saw in cheerleading, I did all those cartwheels and things. But I can't quite do that stuff anymore because I got to hang on to my arms for the rest of my life. So just walking on them, just like you guys walk on your legs. And, of course, I go to the gym every now and then. Not as much as I should.
Spencer, before we move on.
Yeah.
Jackson, do you mind standing up for a moment? I'd like to show Spencer something. Actually, could you stand up on the chair so he could see you?
Is careful. That safe?
Okay, be careful. Can you hold up your arm and tell Spencer what it says on your arm?
What does it say?
No can, only how.
Oh, so good. That's awesome.
Say that again because I don't think everybody heard it. Ready?
No can't, no won't, only how.
Winning.
Bravo.
That's amazing. Well
let's,
done, buddy.
Let's
that's
have a
awesome.
Hand.
That's not permanent, right? I'm in trouble if it is.
All right. Mark.
And who really still wants to ask the question? How about Ooh. Right over here? Here you go.
My name is Sasha, and do you speak any other language?
Do I speak another language? I mean, not officially. No. I did study Spanish in high school and in college. And I do know a little bit of Swahili, enough that I can get around in East Africa, because that's the language they speak in East Africa. But guys, you know a lot of Swahili too. If you've seen The Lion King, have most of you seen the movie The Lion King? It is so full of Swahili words that you wouldn't even know. You know, I'll teach you two really quick. So you know the monkey Rafiki? You know that monkey that's always like walking around? So Rafiki in Swahili means friend. And then the monkey, Rafiki, is always singing that song, Asante sana, squish banana. Asante sana just means thank you very much in Swahili. And also, one last one, everybody knows Simba, right? Yes. Simba means lion. Yeah, that's it. Lots of Swahili, right? Right in The Lion King. Those Disney folks, they're so clever.
Okay, we have time for two more questions. I think we should take one from the back here, and then one over there, and then how about you? Yeah, you.
Okay.
What's your name?
My name is Misa, and I wanted to know what your favorite Disney movie was.
Oh, favorite Disney movie. Oh, man, that's a hard one to choose. But I would say right at the top of my head, my two favorite are Hercules and Finding Nemo. Yeah.
Of course.
Okay.
Great movies.
One more
All
question.
Right, one more question.
Hi, I'm Brett. What's your opinion on the changing social economic structure in Europe?
We saved the best for last.
I'm too busy trying to change the world. Woo-hoo! I don't know. You know what? I'm just kidding. That was a cop out. I don't think I have one. I mean, to be honest, I know you're just being silly, but for me in particular, No. I want to. I think what I want to say is I'm really grateful for the people that worry about those kinds of things because I don't actually have those skills to be able to help with that situation in particular. But what I can do is use my skills to help the incredible kids that I've met in Kenya and India in the countries that we work. So while I focus on that, some of the other folks start focusing on how we fix the economy, regardless of where it is. But that was very funny. Well done.
We'll be right back with Spencer West right after this.
listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back, and now let's go back to Berkeley Hall School and Hodges Theater to hear our interview with Spencer West, the We Day speaker for the Difference Makers series. It is so great to see so many of you wanting to stay and able to stay after you heard Spencer speak and then after you got so many of your questions answered. And I, like I said at the beginning, have a million questions and I can't wait to probably only get to ask a couple myself, but this is a wonderful opportunity. Our show is Life Changes. I am Filippo. This is Mark. And of course, you all know Spencer West. All right. Spencer, I have to say, I don't think I have ever started an interview with tears in my eyes.
Sorry.
I was about to say, I don't know whether to thank you for that.
Or, yeah.
and the thing that came to me is you call yourself a motivational speaker, and you obviously are. But do you know that you're a motivational speaker just standing, I mean, that you're a motivation just standing there as tall as you are?
Thank you. You know, it's one of those things that I never really understood in the beginning, why people thought I was inspiring. And then I realized that if people were going to continue to call me that, which I was always very humbled by, that I should use it properly. And so although I love when, and I'm so humbled when people say you're an inspiration, the feedback that I hope people walk away with at the end of the day is like, oh, wow, yeah, I can do that too. And so that's at the end of the day what I hope. But thank you. I appreciate that because I am pretty short.
Well, I say as tall as you are because I know your book is called Standing Tall.
Yeah.
And if anybody were to ask me now that we've had this opportunity to meet like we have, mm-hmm. I would say you're one of the tallest men I know.
Oh, thank you.
Well said, Felipe. Nice.
Thank you.
You know, Spencer, in watching the presentation, watching you speak, watching the videos you shared, obviously, you went through so much to get to the place where you could climb Mount Kilimanjaro, where you could walk across Canada, where you could do the things that you've done. But all of us have had those days, right? And I think back to the beginning of your presentation when you were talking about the bullying moments and some of those early moments of overcoming. And I remember, you know, when I was a kid and I'd wake up late for school maybe or hair's out of place, well, maybe some of us.
Yeah, not you and I.
But that you have to have gotten there and gotten over that? And do you have a process? Is there some, was there a go-to, is there a takeaway that we can use, that our students use and our listeners can use to get over our daily challenges?
Yeah, I mean, all I can do is I can share what worked for me as an individual. And, you know, what might have worked for me may not work for everybody. But for me in particular, what I found so important on those days when I was being bullied, and even now, guys, sure, we get up here and I want to inspire and I want you guys to make the world a better place. But there's a lot of days where I'm tired and we've been traveling forever and all of this is hard. I just want to make sure you guys understand that it's not easy and it is hard work. But for me, one of the most important things that I've had is a support system of people that I could go to on those days when I was struggling. I'm very lucky that, you know, I come from a family. My parents have been married for 35 plus years, and I feel very comfortable talking to them about things that I'm going through. So number one, they were an incredible support system for me. But number two, on the things that sometimes, you know, I'm not a youth anymore, but you guys as kids, sometimes we need to talk to our peers about things. And I had some great best friends who are still my best friends today, not necessarily the ones I climbed Kilimanjaro with, but the ones that I've grown up with since elementary school that are still my best friends today that I could go to on those days when I was struggling. And what was so interesting is when I started to talk about the things I was struggling with, they were actually going through the same things as well. And we sort of built this beautiful camaraderie, and that made our friendship even stronger. So for me, it's having the support system of people that I can go to on those days when I'm struggling, because guys, it's hard, and the world can be a pretty scary place, but it also can be very amazing if you have that support system.
Fantastic, thank you.
What I think is beautiful about this kind of a conversation is that we're putting things into perspective. And so this morning I had a putting things into perspective kind of moment when I was thinking, do these pants match this jacket? And oh shoot, these shoes aren't polished, so I have to wear this. And all of a sudden I'm thinking, we're interviewing Spencer West. He doesn't think about that. He's thinking about bigger things. And we're gonna be talking about bigger things. How could I be thinking about shoes and pants and, right?
Yeah.
But then I said, okay, but I have to ask Spencer, do you ever worry if you have a zit or if your shirt matches your jacket?
You know what is so funny? We were literally, I mean, yes, I mean, one of the things that I do indulge in, I love clothes and I love fashion, all those things. So I do. I do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But one of the things I was just telling my friend Sarah as we were walking in, actually, I was like, sure, we're in California. I feel like, I don't know, I always feel like I need to look nicer here when I'm in California. And I was like, my skin has been clear this whole year. And I've got this one zit that I mean, you probably can't even see, but I've got one zit here. And I woke up this morning, I was like, oh man, really? Of all days, today is the day that.
Oh, I didn't notice.
But yes, but I do, 100%. Absolutely. I have all of those things that everybody else has, of course.
And that's the beauty is that somehow, though you have all of that, you have taken all of what people see and say, oh, he doesn't have, and you're saying, but I also have something else, and I could do that with what I have. And what you've chosen to do with it really exemplifies what we talk about at Life Changes. And with the partnership with Berkeley Hall School and all of you, we talk about going from me to we. Mm-hmm. And so here you are, one person, and yet you are inspiring so much of the we. So you've taken that and made it into a we. How did that transition happen, or how does it happen every day?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, it's very simple. It's very simple for everybody. I just took the things that I was good at and paired them with the things that I was passionate about. So, I tell this story all the time, but when I would get my report card at the end of the year, I got really good grades and I was always on honor roll, but at the end of my report card, I'd be like, Spencer is a great student, but he talks too much. I took my passion of talking and I made a career out of it. And I pair that with something that I'm so passionate about, which is free the children and wanting to break the cycle of poverty through education. But it's simple for everybody. Maybe it's music, maybe it's sports, maybe it's art, whatever that might be. Taking the things that you love and pairing it with the things that you're passionate about. Changing the world, sure, it can be hard, but it can also be a really good time. And I love talking and telling stories, and I love talking about Free the Children. So that's why I sort of paired those two, and I try to do that every single day.
I love what those three words mean. I love what you have done with them and as an institution, but I love the way they sound, and I just want to have the opportunity to say them again, free the children. And congratulations. In staying with the we, what I was also wondering, we have a word that's very special at Berklee Hall School, which is community. Mm-hmm. And working together, and the families, and the parents, and the children, and the way that we relate, the way that the children relate. And I know that in your presentation also, you talk about asking for help. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we get away from, is being willing to ask for help. Yeah. Maybe you can speak a little more on that, because I really want to bring that home.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that I will always struggle with. And I think in most cases we will. But there seems to be this sort of unwritten rule that it's not okay to ask for help, that, you know, once you become an upperclassman, you're supposed to have all the answers. Or once you sort of climb the corporate ladder, you're supposed to have all the answers. In actuality, that's not true. And I've learned asking for help a couple of ways. And one was when I went to Kenya for the first time. The piece that I didn't tell you about that story when I went to Kenya is that I was really struggling right up until that point, but I was too embarrassed to ask for help because I thought that I'd failed at life when I had money and material possessions, and then suddenly I wasn't happy. I thought, well, I failed. Well, I don't want people to know that I failed, so I'll just pretend like it didn't happen and I'll just exist. But then after 4 years of just existing, I couldn't do that anymore. So I started to talk to my friends and family about what I was going through and asked for help. And that's when my friend invited me to come to Kenya. And from that trip, then I realized, because I asked for help, now it was my turn to help others as well, but how important it is to ask for help every single day. So when it came time for Kilimanjaro, it was the same thing. I thought, this is going to be the hardest thing that I've ever done, and part of me just wants to do it by myself and just prove that I can do it, but there's no way. I really need to ask for help. And then what was so lovely is then I learned that how important it was to offer that help again, because then my buddies needed help to get to the top. So for me, I think it's really important for all of us to ask for help. It shows our humanity. But also, I think it takes a lot of courage to ask for help.
Indeed.
And when you understood that your friends needed help, mm-hmm. and that you could help them, I'm sure that must have been a moment that was inspiring to you more than the work that you... along with the work that you do, that you know is inspiring.
Yeah, I mean, for me, and I can't speak for everybody, but it's nice to feel needed, right?
Sure.
And my buddies had been so incredible at supporting me that entire way. But to be very honest as well, it was at the time when everybody was struggling the most, including myself. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm so tired, and my arms hurt so bad. But I'm like, there's nobody else that's going to do this. So I have to, and if my buddies can do it the first half, well, then I can definitely do it the second half, or I will just do it until I can't do it anymore, and then we'll figure out what to do from there.
What I like about this message in front of all these beautiful children is that there are times when, like you said, in sports, you might not have been the first one picked. Well, you did say you were the last one picked, so yeah. I guess we could say that.
Yeah.
I was too. And there are things that I like to do that I now get to do, like I used to like to talk too. So yes. High five on that.
Yeah, we're both winning on that.
And so there are some kids here, I am sure, that might not feel this subject is their best subject, or they feel like they're picked last for this game or that game. And so to reinforce the fact that there is something they're good at, and someday you will be called upon to do that, or to look for it now. How do we further enforce that?
Yeah, guys, I think it's just really important to think about the things that you love to do. What do you love to do? What makes you happy? I mean, obviously, we can talk about electronics and all those things, and yeah, guys, like, I love my iPod, and I have an iPhone, and all of those things, but at the end of the day, they don't bring me happiness all day. So what are those things that make you happy all the time? And I also want to reinforce too, guys, that it's okay not to be happy every day. I'm not happy every day. There's some days that I'm grumpy. There's some days that days are hard. But it's having those things that we know will make us happy, like spending time with my nephew, you know, hanging out with my friends. But guys, if there's one thing that I wish that I would have known, it would be to find those things now and to really recognize what those are and hold on to those. So on those days when you are struggling, that you know what you can go to. So like for me, yeah, I love Guitar Hero and I love Mario Kart. So yeah, I'll sit down and play a few video games to blow off some steam, or listen to music, or go for a walk, or whatever that might be. You know, maybe yours is drawing or sculpting, or I don't know. Maybe it's going around and shooting a few hoops in your yard, whatever that might be. But what makes you happy is, I think, super important.
We have a question at Life Changes we like to ask, which is, what is your love?
Yeah.
And that's what you're saying. What is your love, right? Yeah. What makes you happy all day? It's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Well, for some of the teachers here at Berklee Hall School, their love is to be with the children and teach the children. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I'm wondering for the teachers, I'm sure you talk to teachers as well. What is one of the things that you've learned that like, was there a particular teacher that inspired you, something that you could share along those lines for the teachers here?
Absolutely. There's one teacher in particular, and this is one of the reasons that I wanted to write my book, Standing Tall, was that I wanted to highlight the people that had inspired me and also that had challenged me. And I had an incredible teacher in high school. Her name is Miss Jasper, and growing up in Wyoming, it wasn't hugely culturally diverse, and she was the only African-American teacher at our high school. And the thing that I loved the most was that the things that she didn't say. In her classroom were posters of people like Jackie Robinson and Babe Ruth and Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King and Gandhi and all of these incredible folks, but we never talked about them. They were just always there. And then eventually at one point she shared a bit of her personal story with us, and I can't remember how the conversation actually happened, but to make a long story short, she had to challenge the school district when she experienced racism and physical harm in the classroom. And she realized that in order to overcome that, in order to get the school to recognize what had happened to her, she had to be better, faster, and smarter. And so she went back to school and did all these incredible things. And for me, that was really empowering. And just hearing her personal story of the things that she had gone through, and although our situations are obviously very different, I could still relate to her in that way and how important that was for me as an individual. So a lot of times, it's also sometimes teachers the things that you don't say and sometimes the personal things that you share that, for me, I found extremely inspiring.
You know, this may sound silly to us as adults, but children growing up these days, we were bullied in a certain way, those of us who were, and we might think that we are the only ones that are being bullied when we are, but sadly, there are children that are being bullied that are bullying others, but they're being bullied by their parents or other people in their lives. And so it's a vicious cycle. It's not just one person. So to know that they're not alone in the way that they're bullied, and then that the little things are actually bullying type of comments, like, oh, you don't have an iPhone, or what, you don't have Instagram yet, and all, and then to laugh at that, and that makes people feel that's bullying is what it is. So what can we address along those lines with the children here?
Yeah, you know what, guys? I heard this beautiful quote by a man named Dan Wilkins, and he said, a community that excludes even one of its members is no community at all. And I think so often when we hear these stories of kids that are being bullied, kids that have taken their own lives, or kids that are really struggling and are self-harming and all those sorts of things, when we hear that, so often we hear the blame game of like, oh, it was the teachers, they didn't do anything, or it was the administration, or it was the bullies, or it was the parents. And this is my personal opinion, but I think we're all at fault. We allowed someone in our community to feel unwelcome and to feel uncomfortable. And I think we're all responsible. And I think it's really important for us to understand that and to take a step back and realize how our actions and words and affect people, and how we also have the flip side to fix those situations and to make sure that everybody does feel welcome and everybody does feel included. And look, guys, we're not going to like everybody. Let's be real about that. But that doesn't mean that we need to exclude them or treat them terribly. So for me, I think it's just really important to recognize that we all live in this community together and how important it is for all of us to live here safely and comfortably.
Well, speaking of community, this beautiful community that has welcomed us is Berklee Hall School, and I invite people to go to berkleehallschool.org and learn more about the beautiful things that are happening here and the beautiful people and children here. Also, freethechildren.com is now, that's not your only website, right?
No, we also So, you know, I represent the organization Free the Children, but then we also have We Day, which, you know, we're hoping will come to right. Southern California as well. So you can check out weday.com. And then we have another, it's a social enterprise that doesn't really exist in the United States yet called Me to We. And it's thinking less about ourselves and more about the people around us. And Me to We is what we call a social enterprise, which is a fancy way of saying a business that makes the world a better place. And so we have products like the Artisans line that the mamas make in Kenya that we sell, my speeches, books, volunteer trips overseas, and half of MeToWe's profits at the end of the year are donated to Free the Children to lower their administration costs, and the other half are reinvested in the business. So those are the three websites, MeToWe.com, FreeTheChildren.com, and WeDay.com.
That's fantastic. Spencer, you are the very essence of a difference maker. And I want to give a shout out to not only Berkeley Hall School, but Dr. Lyle Staley and Rick Fields and Elizabeth Berkowitz, who started this series to bring people like you. And thank you so much for sharing and being the difference maker that you are.
Sure. Likewise, guys. Thank you.
Does anybody feel different?
Yeah.
So on behalf of all of you, first of all, thank you all. You have been such a great audience and so
yeah.
quiet. How do you do that? I wasn't able to do that when I was a kid. I'm learning from you. But not just quiet, they are so attentive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think yeah. that's a tribute to Berkeley Hall School and the teachers.
Absolutely.
And to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So with that, yes, on behalf of Berkeley Hall School, on behalf of Life Changes, Dorothy Donahue, Mark Leger, and myself, Spencer West, this has been a pleasure.
Likewise. Thank you.
Help me thank.
Thank you.
Spencer West.
Thanks, guys. Awesome. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. Thanks, man. So nice.
We'll be right back right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back, and what a show this is, has been, and is about to be.
Yeah.
We're back in the studio here at Studio NoHo, this time with two old friends, young friends, but we've known each other for many years, and they represent Big Lucky. We've got Paul Frederick and
Hello.
Val Peterson.
Hi, Felipe.
Thank you for being back with us. Actually, when we had you all in the studio last time, several months ago, I can't believe it's been now, we recorded so many songs because y'all just kept going. It was sounding good. And
just kept rolling.
And we just kept rolling. Roll the tape. And we had so much fun. And so we didn't get to end up using all the songs. We were hoping in a later date, and here we are. So you all came back to introduce
yes.
it, and then we're going to get to hear the songs that we Hello. Recorded with the whole band. So tell us who the whole band was when we were all here together.
The wonderful Paul Lyons played the drums that day. John Hatton, such a monster, amazing bass player, played the double bass. everybody. That's the big upright bass. Such a man. Mm-hmm. And, of course, wonderful Michael Boyteau played the keyboards.
And, Paul, you were on sax and clarinet.
Correct.
And, Valerie, you...
I do everything else.
And, oh. And seeing both of you light up when you mention your band members and reflecting back to that first performance, I should let you know that... You inspired me to pick up my saxophone again.
Oh,
that's great.
Oh, that's really cool.
I smell a guest star role.
We'll do it.
Well, yes, and maybe I'll get to sing again with you all, because last time I got to sing with you all.
Absolutely.
And actually, I should mention, we did a song that's potentially going to be used in a TV show, and I know we're working on a song that could maybe be on my next album and maybe yours as well. So we've got some other stuff that we're working on. So
correct.
You inspired me to brush up my Italian.
Ah, okay. Well, we're all inspired. This has been an inspiring show, to say the least. Okay, so tell us what we're going to hear. What's the first song we're going to hear?
It's called Snuggle Bear, and there's a very big background story on it that Val is going to tell you about.
I know this story. I can tell you because it's special. Go on.
Oh, when I very first met Paul, he had this amazing dog that I fell in love with without even... I liked the dog more than I knew I liked Paul. And I asked Paul, what's his name? And he went, Sugar Bear. And I said, what? And he said... Well, it's Snuggle Bear. And I went, ex-girlfriend. And he went, yeah. But that relationship lasted a lifetime, and it was the loveliest dog.
Not with the ex-girlfriend, but with the dog. Absolutely. And yes, we all loved Snuggle Bear. So with that, let's hear this beautiful tribute that we recorded here at Studio NoHo a few months ago. Snuggle Bear, Big Lucky.
What? Two, one, two, one, two, whack-a-doo. Little baby Snuggle Bear, snuggle up to me. All the girls love Snuggle Bear, snuggle up to me. Twinkly eyes and curly hair, sweet as he can be. Handsome baby Snuggle Bear, snuggle up to me. Tasty baby Snuggle Bear, snuggle up to me. Ain't no kisses can compare, snuggle up to me. Girlies all want more because he's good enough to eat. Yummy chummy Snuggle Bear, snuggle up to me. When he go for a walk with us, all the cats are envious, watching him perfect the art of stealing time and breaking hearts. Gorgeous baby Snuggle Bear, snuggle up to me. Everyone loves Snuggle Bear, snuggle up to me. Crazy baby Snuggle Bear,
snuggle up to me.
All the boys love Snuggle Bear. Jealous of his personality. Red hot baby Snuggle Bear, snuggle up to me. When we go out on the town, everything gets turned around. Up is down, down is up. When I'm with that Snuggle Pup, lady killing Snuggle Bear, snuggle up to me. Everyone loves Snuggle Bear, snuggle up to me. Snuggle up to me. Snuggle,
snuggle,
snuggle, snuggle,
snuggle,
snuggle,
snuggle, snuggle, snuggle
up to me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Actually, is that on one of your CDs?
Not yet. It's probably going to be an upcoming album. You can, if you like us on Facebook, you can hear about when it's going to be released.
No, okay. So Big Lucky Band on Facebook? Or
BigLuckyBand.com.
Is the website.
Oh, yeah, and Big Lucky Band.
On Facebook.
Yes.
Okay.
But you can get us through the website, too.
So that's an upcoming release. Is that the one of the three songs that has not been released yet? Is that...
Correct.
So this is a world premiere.
Correct.
Right here on Life Changes.
Love it. Okay, very good. Well, thank you for that. What is the name of the album that people can get right now on iTunes?
Big Lucky Hot Jazz 1920s is the first volume. Mm-hmm. Big Lucky Hot Jazz 1930s, and they're both on iTunes.
Could you say that any more sexy? Okay, speaking of sexy, French. Ooh. French for a Day. Is that what we're going to hear next?
Yep.
Okay, yes. I don't know if I want to hear the story.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just hear the song. Yeah. Here's Big Lucky and French for a Day.
French for a Day.
One, two, three, and... I'd love to be French for a day. I'd love to communicate with a certain je ne sais quoi. Tons of food but not show it. Be constantly rude but not know it. Seize a very chance to say ooh la la. I'd go to the grocery store in my Christian Dior, knowing any moment might be the right time. Savoir-faire-ish Parisian way. Yes, I'd love, love, love to be French for a day. I'd love to be French for a day. Je t'aime à parlez-vous français. Every word would be full of romance. I'd watch Les Mis with some crackers and a little fromage. At the right time, declare vive la France. How could I possibly fret when my daily toilet
Val Peterson singing French for a Day. Val, did you write that?
I plead the fifth.
And no comment from me. By the way, Paul's Italian, so where's the I'd love to be Italian for a day?
We got to write that
one.
We still got to write that
one. I hope everyone will remember that comedy is comedy. Uh-huh. I love all French people everywhere.
Uh-huh. That's why I'm writing I Want to Be from Cleveland for a day.
Right. Who doesn't?
Drew Carey. Yeah, Drew Carey.
More than one day.
You know, I haven't heard these in a while, obviously, since they were recorded, and they sound great. I want to give a big shout out to both Brent and Ron in the studio here at Studio NoHo. And of course, you guys sound great, too.
Thank you.
So thanks for recording that. Now, I think the last one, too, I don't want to know anything about. That Man's Cologne?
It's on our... a different version with a 12-piece is on our 1930s album on iTunes.
Actually, so it's both. You can hear it in French or you can hear it in English, which you will do live here in a moment.
You recorded it here in English. You mean That Man's Cologne is also mm-hmm. in French? What's with the French thing?
They thought it suited that culture, and yeah. I agree.
It has that Django vibe to it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I remember some killer solos on this.
Everyone gets one, and you'll get to hear what wonderful musicians I get to work with.
And once again?
John Hatton will burn up the bass. Mike Boito is playing keyboards, and lovely Paul Lines is playing the drums.
Okay, here's Big Lucky and That Man's Cologne.
One, two, one, two, three, four.
I feel him coming, girls. We ain't seen him yet. He walked right in with a belt of gin, cocky as it gets, pet. I feel him coming, girls. That's a scent I know. I'm all undone on my sticky bun when I smell that man's cologne. Girls, don't you know why we're paralyzed by the right smell on the wrong, wrong guy? Go on, sigh, have a real good cry, 'cause sisters, you know he's mine. I feel him coming, girls, sure as winter snows. He's my favorite hang, my best shebang when I smell that man's cologne.
That's fun. Val, how do you say that in French? She's coughing.
I understand French better than I thought I did.
Yeah.
There it is. Okay, so thank you both for coming
thank
back
you.
And introducing the songs. And I'm so glad we got to use them and share them. And so that version obviously hadn't been heard until now. And,
right.
And it's a great version. Maybe you should include that in
Indeed.
iTunes as well.
There'll yeah. be a B-side.
There you go. Awesome.
Well,
flip side.
With that, BigLuckyBand.com. Big Lucky, Val, Paul, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Filippo.
Brilliant work. Thank you,
what
Mark.
A wonderful show. We're bringing enlightenment into our lyrics, so we're going to be writing some songs just for you.
Oh, well, good. Well, yes. Then maybe you'll be back and you'll get to share those.
We'd love it.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And make sure.
And lighter.
Yeah. Make sure one's in French. One's an Italian, and one's
sure,
about
yeah.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
All right.
Yay. Okay.
With that, how do you end a show like this? This has really been a really big shoe. It really has. Really big show. So with that, gosh, we've already thanked Berklee Hall School and everybody there, the whole team, and we've already thanked Spencer West and their team, and of course, and once again, for Dorothy Donahue and Mark Leisure and myself and Brent here in the studio and Doug Newsom at BBS Radio. I am Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.